It's amazing. One little man, I guess you could call him man. He was male. One little male entity was pushing that much evil and that much influence in this Washington giant machine. And you get rid of that one cog, and it turns out that's the master cog. That's amazing. I mean,
I mean,
really.
the if you're looking at it from a cui bono perspective, if you're anybody who's anti-war or on the receiving end of these wars had a motivation to see Lindsey Graham go bye-bye. I was
Oh,
like, if you're
yeah.
looking at it from a murder suspect list, that's a long, long, long list.
Including most of the
And
nations of the world.
the and what is he sort of combined the three factors. One, he knew how to talk the talk of the old Southern conservative pro-American military side. Coming from a middle class background in upcountry South Carolina. The second, he had incredible personable skills. So if you
Oh,
were
yeah.
around Graham, he'd make people laugh. He was the charmer. He was the star of the party. He knew how to make everybody feel good on the golf course, drinking the cocktails. He wasn't like one of those nasty, anean people at a cocktail party. He was the guy that made everybody else feel good at the cocktail party. And in a town driven by cocktail parties and run by cocktail parties, he was the maestro of that aspect of being able to play people like a fiddle. And then third, he was, like a lot of the people who were tied into the assassination plots against Kennedy, tied into the underground sexual deviant world.
Man.
That the so many of them there, I think it was Steve Bannon's assistant, Natalie, I forget her last name, maybe Winters. And she was like, half the men, including the conservative men in this town in D.C., are gay, are secretly gay. And it's just it's a barely, it's like the re recruiting for Catholic priest in the 1980s. Most of them bat the other way. And so that there's a reason why they're trying to become priests, and it's not because they're attracted to women. And so it's the same thing, unfortunately, with a lot of the D.C. political class. People forget Dennis Hastert, longtime Republican Speaker of the House, was abusing young boys. They used to use the pages for that routinely. The congressional interns and young male associates and assistants were there for all the. To the clot, but what's key is it's not just that they're gay, it's that they're closeted gay. And that makes all of them blackmailable,
Oh, yeah.
extortable, and bribable. And so Graham was a peak of that world too. So he was a perfectly situated to do the deep state's bidding in the halls of Congress. And without him, they don't have anybody easily there to replace him.
That's well, how is it that he was never on Epstein's list, or was he on Epstein's list? He just never mentioned.
Because he's the kind of guy to stay out of that those kind of, there was a guy that knows how to blackmail people stays out of other people's blackmail books.
Yeah.
The and so that
As
that
opposed to
it was a
Trump.
sign. Yeah, exactly. It was a sign of what his skill set was, and it was further proof of who he was.
As always told, the devil's not going to come in some red suit with a trident and horns coming out in every direction and a tail. He's going to come in a well-styled man, cut suit, smooth-tongued, with a nice cigar, make you feel good, as you say. That's I mean that's how evil infiltrates right there. Do we hang up? Rob. Internet. Come on. Come on, internet. And we're back.
Well,
I was hoping it wasn't going to last long enough for it to kick off and have to restart a new session. But yeah, like I was saying, though, the devil's not going to come in all horned up and pitchforked and everything else. It's going to come in a well-tailored suit with a cigar and a cocktail, and he's going to make you feel good, and he's going to tell you lots of things. I mean, this guy at the, I mean, he's was he a high priest in Satan?
yeah, exactly. That's what you would think. A true demonic emissary of the deep state operations in the U.S. And he was the other thing with him, though, is there aren't more quite like him coming up. And so that's why they don't have an easy substitute between he and and he was always more effective than McCain at pushing the war agenda. But with their two passing, you have these sort of Russophobic, lower-tiered advocates, it's still in the Senate, but none with the political juice and savvy of Graham. I mean, Graham actually convinced Trump that he was a Democratic whisperer. And he could get Democrats to go, which never made any sense because he never had any success at that at all. It was just their personal friendship and and they would go along with his Russophobic agenda and his warmongering agenda, but not anything that was on Trump's domestic agenda. And yet Trump would convince himself of these things. I mean, you could tell Trump was more broken up the death of Lindsey Graham than he was the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Oh
And
yeah. I've heard that.
tells you everything about where Trump is right now.
I've heard that. That Trump that basically almost had no emotions when Kirk got assassinated. And Kirk was one of the
Whereas
guys that
now,
got Trump elected.
and he was breaking down crying. Like, there was one interpretation that he was under shock when Kirk was assassinated, so I could get that. But there was none of the true broken up days later that you could tell his voice was halting when talking about Lindsey Graham. And it's like, what in the world? It just shows you how far he had lost. But Graham was
Oh,
whispering in, "You're the emperor. You're gonna be like Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun." You know, and you can imagine Graham whisper because he knew how to whisper those kind of things. He knew how to play right to the craziest parts of Trump's ego and his mind, and that's where Trump had completely lost it over 6 months of being worm tongue. And I'm hoping without worm tongue around, maybe we start to get a little bit more rational Trump back somewhere over the next 6 months before we go off an economic cliff with the Iranian war or get into a nuclear exchange with Russia.
yeah, I'd rather avoid that last one. Conventional war is bad enough, but yeah, that nuclear option is just that's a game changer. Look,
Completely.
you've got great connections with Vance and people like that. They've got to be putting candles up right now, thanking God.
Oh, no
Okay,
doubt. I mean,
I don't need the stress pills today.
Graham's exit affords a window of opportunity, probably definitely decreases the risk of any kind of Russian sanctions like Graham was trying to push getting actually instituted or installed. So at least takes off the escalatory ramp on that side of the equation and gives more options on the exit ramp on the Iranian conflict, though I think Vance's camp increasingly recognizes what Joe Kent and some others have been arguing, which is with Trump, since he only
Internet. And bugs are insane. Yeah, okay. I lost you at they what they realize? I think that was the
Yeah,
last
I think
thing
they
he
increasingly realize Trump's mindset. He basically convinces himself the good thing will happen that he wants to have happen, the bad thing can't happen. And he stays in that mindset for long periods of time. And getting him into a place of mental sobriety away from these repeated relapses into delusional Donald is increasingly difficult.
Delusional Donald. I like
And
that
so if you
delusional Donald.
and so if you're going to keep him out of that stage, what you've got to do is all he can see is capitulation or conquering. And he only will accept a compromise if he can recast it as them capitulating or him conquering. Iran is never going to allow him to have any deal that looks like to the world capitulation or conquering of the Persians. That means that the best option, which is Kent was ahead of the curve on this, recognizing this was the only option given where Trump's mindset was, which is he's either going to exit or escalate. He's not going to reach a meaningful, enforceable deal. So the Vance did everything possible to get the first ceasefire, did everything possible to get the MOU through. Trump's his rug pulled it so many times when he was almost on the verge of getting it, and even rug pulls it after he gets it, that at this point he realizes we've just got to come up with some sort of cover story to convince Trump to exit, because otherwise it's escalation, and escalation is a disaster. Vance knows it, General Kane knows it, the Pentagon knows it. The Secretary, Energy Secretary Wright knows it. Even Treasury Secretary Bessent recognizes it. They're just all cowards, and they're unwilling to push back at all against Trump, and are willing. Bessent's the worst. Bessent and Rubio and Hegseth are the worst at going along with Trump. And Wright is having to go out in a self-humiliation campaign, disgracing his long-standing, well-respected legacy in the oil markets and energy markets by saying the dumbest stuff known to man. And like, I was on with Daniel Davis earlier, and you could tell basically he kept using the word hostage over and over again. What he means is that he's a hostage. I'm a hostage. Somebody get me out of here. Somebody drag me out of here. For the love of God, please.
So is he tapping SOS while he's giving the
Yeah, that's really what he's doing.
speech?
It's like the eyes blinking. Like he's like, well, please, I feel bad for the guy because I know behind the scenes he lobbied against this war, and now he's got to get out there and say, no, that the Strait of Hormuz is totally open. Well, we're getting like 70%, 80%. It's only the Iranian oil not going through. And he's trying to say this with a straight face, knowing it's a bald-faced lie, knowing that there's going to be people that make fun of him forever because of these statements, that he's Baghdad Bob of energy in the U.S. And he doesn't say it. He doesn't believe it. He said just the opposite to people, to the president himself. So much so that's why he got left behind back on the beginning of this conflict. Remember, he got left behind. Vance got left behind because Trump was mad at them for telling him this won't go well. But the rest aren't willing to. They're a cabinet of cowards for the most part, other than Vance. And so and Vance takes all kinds of heat and criticism. I mean, he says anything boo about the Israel lobby on the Joe Rogan show, and they go ballistic on him for, a week online. The Barry Weiss and the CBSs and the free presses and all those people. But that's where we're at, is that they got to figure out a way to sell Trump on exiting, because everybody underneath knows escalation is a disaster for the economy, for the midterms, for what that Congress might look like after the midterms that will just investigate, impeach, and maybe even remove the president. First ever a president could be removed from office is Trump in 2027. That they understand the geopolitical risk, that they may lose alliances throughout the entire Gulf world. There might be essentially is NATO that unites Turkey, Pakistan, Iran, and the Saudis and the Gulf states. That they've even lost the Emiratis to a substantial degree. They've already lost the Qataris. They're losing the Saudis. The
Jordanians,
and
too.
So they completely. The Turks are at risk. And while they're getting dragged into further conflict in Russia, by encouraging, incentivizing, and that Ratcliffe's running around yipping about how great it is that he's given them intel to go after Russia. And that stupid analysis they use of, it was 19% occupied. Now it's 20% occupied.
Meanwhile,
that's
2.4
like,
million dead Ukrainian soldiers.
Correct. And they're not talking. That'd be like saying in the American Civil War, ah, they only took Gettysburg. So what?
That's not major.
Do you not understand where how this progresses, how this proceeds? He's been. And then he gets Trump to from his legitimate concerns about the election integrity in the United States by yipping about China, and that China was not the problem with the 2020 election. And he gives you an idea of his empire mindset, that he wants to take down not only wants to be like Viceroy of Caracas and Havana, but he wants to say he conquered the three great civilizations, continuous civilizations in the world. See the Russians go down, see the Persians go down, and see the Chinese go down. And at different levels, he's in conflict with all three. And when he's making comparisons to him, to Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan, you get an idea of how his mind has gone totally AWOL. You got a King Lear with delusions of grandeur, and that's a whole different kind of problem. And everybody around him is in cowardice mode. The institutional elites are in delusional, constant, continuous states of delusion for the last three decades. And you've got the people that, like the Elbridge Colbys, Undersecretary of Defense and Vice President Vance, who recognize the risk, who aren't being heard and are treated like whiners and complainers and saboteurs when they're the only people trying to salvage and save the administration from itself and from global debacle.
I do not envy him. I mean, I'll tell you that much. I
No,
do not
no.
envy them. That is, that's, yeah. Like I said last time we talked, Vance is going to get serious treatment for PTSD after this.
Yeah, exactly. And in the middle of this, his fourth baby was born. You know, his youngest son was born.
Oh,
So, you know, the
congratulations to him.
yeah, exactly. I mean, he's you know, the he's got a, and that was a surprise pregnancy. That was not a planned pregnancy. So, you know, he's trying to protect his young kids in the middle of this incredible global disastrous president that he can't tell anybody, at least not publicly, has completely lost it and is at the risk of blowing up the world at any given moment. And it's not the old Trump. People keep be pretending it's the old Trump. And so the Democratic critics always saw him as an ego-driven guy. So they don't recognize the change of behavior. They always saw the sheep as a wolf. And so when he shows up as a wolf, they don't recognize the danger that poses.
Right.
And then you got the Trump partisans that are pretending it's still old Trump, that there's some game plan and strategy beneath and behind it all, that there's some broader, you know, he's taking on the city of London, or, you know, so they have to come up with more exotic and esoteric interpretations for this contradictory behavior that everybody can see. I mean, he contradicts what he himself said 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, he said, we've got to get out. It'll be economic collapse. We've got to get out, or I'll be Herbert Hoover. We've got to, it's their money. And us continuing to do sanctions is just stupid and undermines our economic power around the world. And now he's reversed himself on all of it in overnight without explanation.
I've seen clips and I've watched speeches where Trump counteracts himself in the same speech.
Yes.
It's like 5 minutes
Yeah,
later, he's
he'll
just
do it
saying
within
the opposite.
from
What the hell?
Truth Post to Truth Post or within a Truth Post. The it's striking to see. I mean, it's for a current American problem. I don't know to what degree Russian le Soviet Union leaders or Russian leaders might have had this issue toward the end of their tenure, because you never know for sure what was mental decline, what was internal sabotage, when they would get sent to a dacha, like the kind that looks like your place. It usually meant, you know, you need to stay there for a little while. We need to have our own dacha policy. We need to have our own dacha. We can send our presidents when they lose their mind. Send the dacha to stay there for a little while. Don't worry.
Feed
We'll keep you apprised.
the
Like
ducks,
fake news, fake information. We'll feed you every day about how great you are. Let you be on fake interviews that nobody's actually watching, so that we can actually save the country from the such losers who are such leaders who are losing it.
Well, look, there's rumor that Hillary Clinton may run as a Democrat again. I mean,
That would be
It was bad enough last elections, 320 million people, and the best you can come up with is Biden, Harris, and Trump. I mean,
Yeah.
seriously, those
I mean, like
three.
the only young candidate there never had an IQ to begin with. And
Yeah, I
so
know.
they don't have an IQ to lose. And so the you got these more, and I think it will show up in third party and independent challenges and all of the rest. But I mean, a big problem is the delusional interpretation of global public opinion and domestic public opinion. I just
Oh,
did like a little Substack piece because Mario Knoefel asked me to write one, because I was talking about he had never heard that the Iranian public did not in fact want to overthrow their government. I was like, I know we've done internal surveys. They've never published, the CIA, but they're externally published surveys by Gallup, by the Pew Research Foundation, by the University of Maryland, by the Washington Institute for the Near East, which go into great detail about how the Iranian public opinion, they see a Shia leadership around the Shia world outside of Iran, not just in Iran, as
right.
protecting the Shia from global hostility, whether it's anti-Islamic hostility or
Right.
Sunni-inspired hostility. And that's why the Shia in Pakistan have a favorable opinion of the Iranian Republic. The Shia in Bahrain have a favorable opinion. The Shia in Iraq, the Shia in Syria, the Shia in Lebanon, the Shia around the world, the Shia in the U.S., the Shia in the U.K. And it's just that most of the Shia in the U.K. and the U.S. and the West are not, or most of the Iranians are not religiously observant Shia in the U.K. and the U.S. They are in Iran, and they have a very favorable view of the government of the Republic. They have a higher view of how democratic their government is than Americans do, than the
Oh,
UK does, than the French do, than the Germans do. So the idea that they see their, and what is about 20 years ago, we set up this fake group. I say fake because it's a real group, but they do fake polls, called Gammon, organized in the Netherlands, you know, you being in Russia, have seen 100 versions of this. You know, you create a fake group, a freight group, funded by the NPD and say they bogus polls and surveys that show all the Russian people want to overthrow Putin and all the rest. Everybody knows they're fake polls. Everybody knows they're fake surveys, but the West doesn't. They're because they propagandize it as the only reliable source. You dig into the data, the Iranian people, no more than 20% of the country has ever wanted to change its form of government. And right now that's in the low single digits. What's interesting is you dig in, the University of Maryland did a poll in the fall after the summer of 2025 attacks. And you can see why there's public restraint on negotiation by the Iranian leadership, because public opinion already then had shifted, even before they did we did the surprise attacks, taking out the Ayatollah, killing his four-year-old granddaughter, killing his daughter, killing his wife, killing 170 school girls on the same day, the beginning of the attack. Even before that, the Iranian public wanted Iran to develop nuclear weapons, wanted Iran to increase its ballistic missile capability, did not want Iran to negotiate with the U.S. even then. So that's why they went against their own public by agreeing to the memorandum of understanding. Vance understood that. And to Vance's credit, he thought for a week he had Trump on board because Trump was talking the talk. And then the terrifying thing is what some of us have been telling the Vance's team is Trump is mentally not there anymore in a
Oh,
way
yeah.
that's ever trustworthy. And they convinced themselves, nah, if we work with him, he'll be back to being okay. And this proved me and our side right, that the guy is gone mentally. He cannot make competent and capable decisions. And we just got to. Maybe there's a Russian Dasha we can send him. You know, say pretend he's talking to Putin every day and solving the world's problems and co-leading the world or something.
We got all Siberia. You know how many Dachas are out there? We can
Yeah,
find
there
one
you go. Boom.
isolated, nice, and we just bump in the
Yeah.
information. You can set up a separate Fox News outlet out there that just bumps in PS information.
Exactly. The other person he compared himself to it was in that interview with on the regime change book that got released was Stalin. He's like, I can be like Stalin. So maybe we can convince him he is Stalin. He's back in 1940. He's leading the counterattack. He's gonna take out the Germans. Have some Russian singers there, like live choir singers singing to him, so he can pretend and imagine. We just got to get him out of the White House and away from the nuclear button and the war buttons. Because he's
Jeez.
as untrustworthy right now and unreliable as any leader in the world is, and any leader in the world has been in quite some time.
You go from somebody that's half brain dead and a zombie to somebody that's half brain dead and hyperactive.
Correct. Exactly. It turns
That
out the zombie would be better. And I
does.
never thought I would say that. I
I
mean,
know.
what a loser.
I'm shocked to say that myself.
I know.
It's
I mean, that's how on this set of policies Trump has become. That Biden would have been a less risky president than Trump has become, which is
gosh.
mind-boggling to me. But
I
it
know.
also shows we just need reform. We need not to have leaders past the age of 75. It's just too risky. Once you get too old, not in that position of power, we've got to pull back. It's like having all these geriatric senators. You know, Feinstein was clearly dead. Somebody was voting for her. I mean, she died like 6 months after, six hours after her last vote. Everybody kind of knows Mitch McConnell is dead, and they're pretending he isn't. He keeps putting out photos in the exact same shirt. It's like he never changes shirt or facial posture. Every single day is the exact same shirt. But somehow doesn't have the. But he can't do an interview then? Why can't he talk to a real person? Well, not the Scott Jennings fake things. It's become a meme now. You know, Thomas Massie's like, I just talked to Mitch. And Mitch was like, man, we never should have opposed your campaign. We've got to get out of all these stupid wars. We got to control the Fed. You know, he's having fun with it. But everybody knows it. I mean, we got a senator who's probably dead. And we're pretending that it's not, that it's all normal.
What was that
It's
weekend at the movie? Weekend at
Weekend at Bernie's. Weekend at
Bernie's.
Bernie's.
That's it, Bernie's.
Well,
This
you know what we need. I'm just waiting for the
month
U.S.
at
reform.
Bernie's.
Vance has got to have a secret signal to everybody. You know, just have PBS broadcast Swan Lake. So we all know that's time for a little bit of a change.
Oh, I mean, it is ridiculous. It is just absolutely. The Soviet Union went through something like this at the very end because they were, premiers are moving out like that. They're just dropping dead because you had a pool of old guys, right? I mean, just really old guys, Gorbachev was the young guy that came in, but yeah, this pool of old guys are going, it's my turn. And he gets in there and he drops dead, 2 months. The next one drops dead in another half a year and on because these are old guard from, the original revolution or the next generation of them. And they're all in their 80s and 90s. I want to be there too. Yeah, there you go. The thing is, I mean, sometimes you get people that are in their 80s, but they're quite competent. And hopefully we're all going to be living to, 100 plus. But it's just something, I think I won't go as far as to say you should just ban them outright, but I think that's there has to be a competency test every single year, or maybe twice a year. And
The,
from
I mean,
neutral
it's,
parties,
I mean, the argument I've made here in the States is that, our Constitution had a minimum age that for its time and place was very aggressive. That the, that basically we're requiring you to reach your elder stage of life in terms of leadership for that period of time, but the younger stages of that before you could run for the Senate, before you could run for the White House. As like the same logic is that we need to put a cap because now that we've been able to extend life way past the normal the idea at the time of the founding, we're able to extend life but not always able to extend intellectual and emotional decision-making capacity. And we need to put the same at least some sort of limit on that side of the aisle. The now at least in the war context, with the founders thought in America that they had solved the problem. Because they took away the power of war from the president. They're like, he can only execute war, he can't declare war. And Congress will be the check to prevent somebody losing their mind or losing their soul in that position of power because they can't start a war. And unfortunately, we haven't meaningfully enforced that in the better part of a century. And that failure to enforce has enhanced this problem of people being too old and Biden had it, Reagan had it, Woodrow Wilson had it. These people that suffer some sort of severe emotional or health breakdown at the end, Nixon was breaking down. I mean, he was talking to the paintings like they were real. So the
Maybe they
it's
were.
too risky to,
Maybe
yeah,
they were.
exactly. Who knows? I mean, I'm just waiting for Trump to do that. I mean, imagine if Trump was an alcohol. Thank God Trump doesn't drink at all because that probably reduces some of the risk. But imagine if he was drinking on all this stuff. But the other problem is the internal, like the doctor is intimidated by Trump. So the doctor's not going to give him an honest exam, even if it flashes red signals on that exam. And then the problem is emotional behavioral dementia of the executive, where you lose your executive function in your brain, only doesn't show up on a lot of tests. Usually you don't even know the person fully had it. You people who've known them a long time can see it, but generally it's not something you can fully know until they're dead, and you can look into the brain and see where whether what the damage was. We don't have great testing for it, so it makes the problem worse. And then you have institutional media covering up for it. So it's Trump is full thorough proof that there's a weakness and vulnerability in our system that we need to find an institutional remedy to because it will otherwise keep repeating and reoccurring.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm telling you, it's just a reminder of the Soviet Union at its last stages. It's the same damn
That's
thing.
well, it's the sign of a decaying empire. It's peak hubris. I mean, Christopher Nolan makes the remakes the Odyssey and he takes out the whole premise of hubris and makes it all about male toxicity.
No way, Shapiro, which he's a joke of a human being for the most part. But when he comes out with, well, the Greeks aren't exactly white. My Greek friends are like mental explosion. Like,
Exactly.
God.
Well, I mean, it tells you something that he makes a Greek movie in Greece about a Greek tragedy that has no Greek actors in it. Yeah, I
I
mean,
know.
that gives you a mindset of where Nolan is. But the biggest thing was like, I don't mind all the retconning and the DEI and all the other jazz as long as he kept the story of hubris in, because it's a particularly apt story for Europe. It's a particularly apt story for the US, given what we're experiencing and the way in which we're going out on with conflict with Iran, China, and Russia. We're doing it in this hubris kind of manner rather than a geopolitical realist manner. The part that I think about Nixon that was could, which was getting detente, Soviet Union, opening the doors to China, ultimately willing to get out of Vietnam, belatedly, but at least getting out, knowing it was going to fall. And we entered 15 years of no major wars, the longest time period after World War II since before World War I. And so there was a lot of, the argument for that side of geopolitical realist Nixon. But the story of hubris and nemesis is always is the great Greek stories that warn about getting over your skis, about not understanding your adversary, about thinking you can do things that you can't, that are beyond your limits, about provoking the fate of the gods by being so arrogant to think you are one, which is the way Trump is behaving at times. And that story is a great universal story. Unfortunately, Christopher Nolan eviscerates that part of the story, making it men bad, women
I
good.
disagree with you. Nolan incorporated that story into the whole process of the movie, the hubris. Nolan is embodied the hubris. So the story,
He
when
is the
the
hubris.
movie fails, and it will, obviously, Nolan is the hubris. He's taking it to the next level, man.
It's Hollywood hubris at just that he could retcon a story as famous and legendary and as great as the Odyssey, arguably, the most important story in Western civilization, a kind of anchor and foundation to Western civilization, and a particularly apt warning of to the modern world
Oh
is
yeah.
just it's Hollywood on steroids.
Yeah, the actress, I don't remember her name, the one that plays Helen. Apparently she had never even heard of the Odyssey. Never mind, I never read it. She never even heard of it until she was cast.
Well, that was a reflection. I think she went to Yale, where I went to undergrad for part of the time. And what was happening is Yale was shifting away from the Western greats, the old canon, so that what you would read is some alternative interpretation of something rather than the original text material itself. That's what, like, a lot of Americans will probably like the movie because it has cool effects in it and, historic stories and a little bit of romance and a little bit of action and a few monsters, because they don't know it's a degradation of the original story that was, and they don't realize that the original story was so essential to civilization because it used to be something a generation or two ago in America everybody read. Now the new generations don't.
On that note, we can I want to thank you for coming on. It's always a great conversation. And like I said, I think we're gonna see the hubris at a new level on the Odyssey. It's Newland has embodied the hubris. We should celebrate with him. He's taking it to a new level.
And he'll get the awards and designation and recognition for it, just like Trump thinks he will at the end of this conflict. But he's probably more likely to get an, he won't get Odysseus ending. He'll get an ending that was somewhere about was for Odysseus' ship crew if he continues on his current path.
Eaten, swallowed, or turned into animals. They
Exactly.
had a pretty shitty life.
They sure did.
They were the red shirts of Star Trek. They beamed down, they're all red shirted. Yep, they're all gonna die. That's it.
Yep,
They're done.
exactly.
They're done.
Yep, that's how it's turned out. And Trump risked that fate if he continues to tempt fate.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to having another talk with you because it's always fun. And Washington provides you plenty of material.
No doubt about it. Glad to see you, man.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Cheers.